My daughter sent this last week, and I thought it was good. Miss Eve wrote it down for me. To Mom, I'm hungry. I'm cold. I'm hot. Can I have? I want to watch. Where are you? Can you ask Dad? Can you help me? He hurt me. She hurt me. I want to go home. When are we? Why are we? Why can't we? To Dad, where's Mom? I don't know about y'all, but I get tired of that. Amen. Michael, we got her a cell phone. She won't answer it, so they'll call Dad and say, where's Mom? Amen. Amen. I praise the Lord for my wife, the mother of our children, for our children. I praise the Lord. Jeremiah chapter 23 this morning, if you'll turn there with me, please. Jeremiah chapter 23. Jeremiah chapter 23, and we'll read a couple of verses here. I didn't really plan on this working this way, but you know, God, He has a plan anyway. Amen. I even thought about last night and prayed about maybe going a little different direction for Mother's Day. But the Lord wouldn't allow it. In Jeremiah chapter 23 and verse number 9, Jeremiah, the weeping prophet, he said, my heart within me is broken because of the prophets. He said, all my bones shake. He said, I'm like a drunken man, like a man whom wine hath overcome because of the Lord and because of the words of His holiness. He said, for the land is full of adulterers. For because of swearing, the land mourneth. He said, the pleasant places of the wilderness are dried up, and their course is evil, and their force is not right. For the prophet and priest are profane, yea, in my house have I found their wickedness, saith the Lord. Pray with me just a moment. Father, thank you this morning for the word of God, and thank you, Lord, as we heard in Sunday school once again, Lord, that it's pure, it's perfect, it's powerful, it's preserved. Lord, we thank you that, Lord, you said, I am the Lord, I change not. Lord, your word never changes, it's forever settled in heaven. Lord, would you take your word and challenge our hearts today? Lord, it could be that there's someone here today that does not know Jesus. Oh, God, how I pray today. Something would be said, Lord, that might cause them, Lord, to want to fall out with sin and fall in love with the Savior of the world. Thank you, Lord, for our mothers that are here today. Thank you, Lord, for our mothers that are not here today, that are in heaven with you. And God, we thank you, Lord, for every time Mama prayed for us. Thank you, Lord, for every time Mom helped us along the way. And I thank you, Lord, for your help. And I pray, God, that you'll just help us today to preach the word, to be instant in season and out of season. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. The Hebrew word for pleasant places, it actually it's a word that's hard to pronounce. It's spelled N-A-A-H, Nawal. And it means a home, a pleasant place. It's talking about the home, a pasture, a habitation, a house, a pleasant place. On last Sunday, we spent most services talking about the pleasant place in the wilderness of the heart. The pleasant places are dried up. And how that if we're not careful, We can go back in our heart and our mind to when the Lord saved us by His grace. We can remember how that He took such an unpleasant place in our inner being and made it a wonderful place. The Holy Spirit now dwells there. Where there was no peace, there's now peace. Where there's no love, there's now love. Where there's no joy, there's now joy. And we talked about how that if we're not careful, we're in danger of that drying up. I believe it was mentioned maybe in Sunday school about the newspaper. I'll say this. If your heart is a pleasant place, I don't think there's a whole lot going to come in the news that's going to keep it a pleasant place. It's going to have to come from God's Word. It's going to have to come from God's Spirit. Listen to me carefully. And I believe this is the kind of Christian I want to be. I believe sometimes it comes through God's people. That God uses His youngins just to speak an encouraging word. A word fitly spoken in due season. I don't know how many times in my Christian experience I was walking in an unpleasant place and just a word was able to encourage me. Amen. And I wanted to go on. And so we wanted to talk not only about the pleasant place of the heart, but we want to go into this second message on the pleasant place of the home. I believe God intends for our homes to be a pleasant place. A place to get in out of the storm. A place, my friend, to get in out of this world. Amen. A place of refuge. You say, preacher, what does the Lord think about the home? Well, I'm going to give you several things this morning, and I don't know how it's going to go, but I just want to try to mind the Lord. I want to give you some things. First, I want to talk about the origin of the home. God started the home. God started the home. God looked down, Brother Rose, and He said, when He created that man, He said, it's not good for that man to be alone. And He made a woman for him. Amen. And listen, this ought to really carry some weight this morning. God started the home before He ever started the church. Amen. I'm telling you, God places an emphasis in the Word of God on the home. Amen. He said it's not good for a man to be alone. He talked about how marriage is honorable and all. And the bed is undefiled. But He said whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. We're living in a generation where seemingly it's being taught that there's nothing wrong with shacking up and nothing wrong with, my friend, living together. Nothing wrong. But listen, God wants us to get married if we're going to be together. And He wants us to have a home that would honor Him, amen, and honor His Word. God's not changed His mind about the home. God wants us to have a home that's a pleasant place. I want to give you something this morning. This blessed my heart. I don't know that I've ever had this thought exactly like this before. But when God looked at Adam and said, Adam, you know what, son? It's just not good. Everything He made, He said, and it was good. It was good. It was good. And He looked at Adam and He said, it's just not good for you to be there. He said, this garden's perfect, but it's lacking something. Amen. I tell you, the woman is the completer for the man. Say amen right there. It was just like incomplete. I don't know about you, but I got that on my papers in school a whole lot. Amen. Incomplete. Amen. That means I just couldn't finish the thing. I didn't know. Amen. But Lord knowed how to finish that man. He made him a woman. Amen. He completed that man. Made that garden perfect. And put that man and that woman in that garden. Think about this for just a moment. I thought about this. God sent Isaac a bride. But Abraham, he sent out a servant. In other words, Abraham had enough sense to know it's not good for Isaac to be alone. So I'm going to send my servant. That servant in the Bible is unnamed, and I believe that that servant is a good type of the Holy Ghost of God. Amen. And so Abraham sends out his servant Isaac to search out a bride. Sent out his servant to search out a bride for Isaac. Here comes
that servant, and he'd asked God about the watering of the camels and all that, and God fulfilled all that right before his eyes. And Rebecca goes home riding with him on the camels. You say, "Preacher, I don't understand." Let me give you the thought this morning that come to my mind. It blessed my heart. Listen, God had a son. His name's Jesus. His name's Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And you know what God said? He said, "It's not good for my son to be alone. I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. Search him out." Amen. After a while, I believe very soon, the bride is going to be, my friend, married to the bridegroom. And we're going to be at the wedding of the Lamb. The marriage of the Lamb. Blessed be the name of the Lord. The origin of the home. God started it. God started it. God started it. Can I say this to you? Everything that God starts, the devil hates. If God does something good, Brother Sam, here will come the old devil trying to imitate it. Can you imagine? Could you have ever imagined that the devil would be imitating the way he is today and trying to call it a home? Somebody help me right there. No, it's not a home. It's a hole. It's a cesspool of sin. That's exactly what it is. Amen. God started the home, the origin of the home. Let me say this, and I'm not going to get into all this because I believe we know this. I'm like Brother Brian in Sunday school. He said, "I believe this is familiar territory." But there's an order in the home. But I believe every once in a while we need to be reminded, amen, that God didn't just start the home. He's not the one that just originated it, but he's the one that placed the order in the home. You say, "Preacher, an order in the home?" Exactly. Christ is to be the head of the man. That's first and foremost. I tell you, you want to know why the average home in America is in a mess? It's not because of mom. It's because Christ is not the head of the man. Brother Joe made a statement a while ago. He said, "All women are not mothers." Or something like that. I understood that completely. Amen. I used to tell them in prison, any man can lay down with a woman and get her pregnant, but it takes a real man to be a husband and to be a father to his children. God said, "I want Christ to be the head of the man. And I want the man to be the head of the home and the head of the wife. And I want the mom and dad to have children that will be in subjection to them." Go down to Walmart and you wonder, don't you? Say amen. I asked my son yesterday, he went over to my dad's and dad's remarried and mama passed away and dad's remarried and they've moved and dad's getting rid of some things. And my son, mama wanted my son to have the bells. All these little bells that mom's collected. Every time somebody goes somewhere, they bring mom a little bell. And when mom had her little note before she died written down on the counter, she said, "I want Jeremy to have the bells." And I thought it said bills. I said, "Well, mama, what'd you do that to him for? Amen. He's been good to you. Amen. Leave him the bills. Amen." But it was the bells. And I said, "Son, if you see something over there, Dad said, "Son, you can have whatever you want, and I'm not much on material things." But I said, "If you see something over there that you think would just help me, just remind me of Mom." I said, "Just bring it to me, just some little something." I said, "I'll put it up. When I look at it, I'll think of Mama." And he brought me this thing, that two things, actually. One of them was the Board of Correction. It said it works on everything between the age of 5 and 75. I like that because that means if Miss Eve needs a spanking, I can still give her one. Amen. Yeah, when I come in here with this eye black, amen, you'll know what happened. Amen. Amen. And then the other thing he brought me was like a cutting board that said, "My mom's kitchen." What a blessing. How many homes today are out of order? Just completely out of order. You know, I'm not trying to be ugly. Not at all. But if you've ever worked on a toilet, listen to me, stay with me a minute. If you've ever worked on a toilet, how many's ever worked on a toilet? I like what one Christian comedian said one time. He said, you can't work on one of them things without hugging it. It's terrible, amen. But Brother Tim, they've got many parts, don't they? I mean, it's got a seal down under it. It's got a flange. It's got some bolts. It could be the bolts be the problem. The flange might be the problem. The seal might be the problem. It's got what they call a ball cock in the back of it that monitors or meters the water that goes into it. If it gets a grain of sand in it, that might be the problem. It might be the flapper that comes down. Somebody might have broke the tank. There's just all kinds of parts that make up a toilet. But you know, when you go into a place of business, normally, if there's only one of them things in that room, they don't tell you what's tore up about the toilet. They just hang an out of order sign on the door. There are many parts that make up a home. Listen to me carefully. All you got to do is get one of them messed up, and that home will be out of order. And God wants our homes to be a pleasant place. He wants it to be a place all of us can remember. Surely we can remember in our childhood. Maybe there was a home that we loved to frequent. A place where we just loved to go because we knew there was going to be some good brownies or a good little sandwich. There was just going to be some good conversation. There was going to be some wholesome fun. Amen. It was just a pleasant place to be. And God wants our homes to be a pleasant place as well. They cannot be a pleasant place if they're out of order. I believe as we talk about the pleasant place of the home this morning that first of all we see the origin, then we see the order. But I want you to think about this. I don't think we think about this enough. What about the opportunities of the home? Think about this. Number one, we have an opportunity to welcome others into our home. I believe in the early church, that was a lot more prevalent than it is in this generation. I believe, my friend, in the early church, they didn't just welcome one another into their homes, but there was worship going on in the home. There was worship. I don't want to go back. That part, Brother Brian, about Brother Mitchell talking about, no, I want to wrestle. Boy, that spoke to my heart. Brother Mitchell was talking about the TV and being in a home and said about 8 o'clock he started watching wrestling. About 10 o'clock maybe they turned it off and said, you want to pray before we go to bed? He said, no, I want to wrestle. I'll be honest with you. I don't remember how many years ago, but it ain't been too many years ago. I didn't have one, and I can be honest today and say I was better off without it. I was. That's me. I'm not saying you, but I was better off. I was better off without it. Welcome people into our homes. I don't have time for that. It might surprise us the time we'd have if our priorities were right. We ought to worship in our home. And then our home ought to be a place that's winning others, that's causing others to want what we have in our home. I believe with all my heart, the home ought to be a pleasant place. I will give you this morning. I've talked about the origin and the order and the opportunities of the home. But I want you to think about this morning. What about the opposition to the home? I don't normally try to close with a negative, but I'm going to tell you something right now. If you don't know it, your head's in the sand. Our homes are under attack. I don't know who in this building possesses the strongest home, the strongest bond, the strongest unity. I don't know whose home might represent the most pleasant home where God the Holy Spirit is at work. But whoever's home that is not exempt from the attack and the onslaught of Satan. I've never seen the likes of people. I'm talking about people who've been married 30 and 40 and 50 years. A lot of it, listen, I'm not being critical. A lot of it's that empty nest thing where the kids, dad's giving his attention to the kids and mom's giving her attention to the kids and the kids go off to college and they're grown and they look at one another and they're strangers. They don't know one another. God never meant for the home to be that way. Amen. He wanted us to love our wife and the wife to love her husband. The opposition. I believe there's opposition. Let me give you four things quickly from within. Eve in the Garden of Eden, everything was going well. Let me just say this. As far as Satan was concerned, everything was going way too good. I mean, I'm not trying to be out of line here, but I believe when Adam woke up and he saw his precious wife, it was like, wow. Amen. Only the God of heaven could have done that good. Amen. And everything was perfect. He was perfect. My friend, listen, God made him after his own image. He made a woman. The environment was perfect. Sometimes we blame stuff on our environment. Listen to me. They were living in a perfect environment. Here comes somebody trying to, in a subtle way, convince Eve. Oh, listen, that lie is still the same today. The devil's trying to convince the husband, hey, something better over yonder. Trying to convince the wife, there's something better over yonder. Trying to convince the children, there's something better over yonder. He's still subtle today and does not want us to be content with that that God has given us. He was convincing Eve, you're missing out. And God knows it. God's holding out on you. If you'll just go ahead and take of that tree, there's an attack on the home from within. Say amen. Honestly, listen to me carefully right here. There was a time when I wondered what nation would shoot one of those big nuclear warheads over here and destroy America. I wondered which one of them is going to do it. I didn't see America in prophecy, and I just in my own heart and mind, Brother Rose, you know what I believe? I don't believe they're going to need one. We're killing ourselves from within. We're destroying ourselves from within. And the enemy of the home, the opposition to the home, many times is from within. From within. Secondly, I see the opposition from without. I'm going to make a statement. You can get mad if you want to, but Hollywood's not for the home. The God haters, the Christ rejectors, the home breakers. Let me make another statement this morning. Listen to me carefully. There's an agenda, we know about it. To speak scripturally, you need to say a sodomite agenda. But there's an agenda in America and around the world going on. But listen to me carefully. Listen to me carefully. I do not believe personally that it's so much to get us to accept what they're doing as it is to destroy what we have. My friend, as Christians and Christian homes, I'm telling you, they're just like Satan was in the garden. They can't stand to see a home that's a pleasant place where mama's loving daddy and daddy's loving mama, and mommy and daddy would give their lives for their children. They can't stand it. They want to destroy what we have in the home. There's opposition from within. There's opposition from without. There's opposition from above. Now listen to me carefully. The Bible said in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse number 12, for we wrestle not. There's where we need to be wrestling, ain't it, Brother Brian? Amen. We're not wrestling, though, against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. Spiritual darkness. Listen to what the Bible said. Against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. There's opposition, even from above. Now watch this. There's opposition from beneath. In other words, what I'm trying to say this morning is every way you look, there's opposition to what God calls the home. You look out, you look in, you look up, you look down. There's opposition from below. Listen to what James said in James 3:13. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. Now watch this. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly. It's sensual. It's devilish. Well, I just made me a little note. I said, well, since it's not from above, it must be from the pit of hell. This wisdom that's devilish, envying and strife. He said, for where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits. It's without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. In other words, if God has given us wisdom in our home is going to be a pleasant place to the glory of God Almighty. And anything else, that wisdom didn't come from above. It's earthly. It's devilish. It's sensual. I want to say just a couple of things this morning. We're going to have an invitation. If your home is a pleasant place, Christ is the head of the man. The man's the head of the home. And the children are in subjection to mom and dad. And there's peace in your home. There's joy in your home. When Jesus looks down at your home, He smiles. I didn't say your home was perfect, because none of us will be perfect till we get home. Say amen. But He looks down and He smiles, and it pleases Him when He looks at your home. If that's the case, I believe it'd be good this morning just to come in this altar. Say, oh God, thank you for my home. I believe it. If that's the case, it would be good for teenagers to get with mom and dad, just come in this altar and say, oh God, thank you for my mommy. I know there's times I want to do my own thing, but I thank you that my mommy's got some wisdom. My daddy's got some wisdom. Thank you, God, for keeping the peace in our home. Secondly, if you're that one part, I use the toilet for an illustration because I believe that's something we can all, at some point in our life, surely we flushed the toilet and saw water start running out from under it. Or we hit the lever and nothing happened. Maybe the chain come loose, Brother Gary, amen. Or somebody comes to us and says, that thing runs all the time. It never shuts off. But you might be that one part in your home. That's got your home out of order. Oh, to come in an old-fashioned altar and say, God, I'm the part. I'm the problem. It's me, Lord. Lord, our home used to be a pleasant place. But God, I just decided I had to have it my way. It'd be a good place at this altar. Say, God, I want to help my home to be the kind of home that be pleasing in thy sight. I want to stop being the problem. And I want to be part of the solution to make our home a pleasant place. Then if you're here today and your heart has never been made a pleasant place, you've never been saved, you've never trusted Jesus as your Savior. Can I just say it like this? As the heart goes, so goes the home. As the home goes, so goes the house of God. As the house of God goes, so goes the nation. I believe with all of my heart, we're trying to lay the blame for a lot of what's going on in this country on the steps of the White House when it belongs right out here on the steps of God's house. We have prayed like war too. We've kept our mouths shut while they run this mess down our throats. Say amen. Somebody said on the radio the other day, he said, where are the pulpits in America? I ain't much, but I want to finish my race thundering. There is only one way to heaven. His name is Jesus. I want to thunder, amen, that what God said is sin is still sin today. God has never changed his mind about sin, and he never will. And I want to magnify the importance of a godly home. Is your home a pleasant place? I'll tell you, there have been times when our home wasn't a pleasant place. Let me say this. There have been times when I was the part that was out of order. How many of you men would just raise a hand right there and say, yeah, I was the part that needed fixing. Yeah. Ladies, how many of you would say there have been times when I was the part that needed fixing? How many of the youngins would say, the teenagers, I was the time when I was the part that needed fixing. We used to be pleasant. But now, there's turmoil. I believe with all of my heart this morning, God wants our homes to be a pleasant place. If you're here today and your home is a pleasant place, I'm going to invite you to come. Brother Ralph, come on. Get in this altar. Thank God for your home and pray maybe for another home that you know is having problems. If you're the one keeping your home from being what it needs to be for the glory of God, I pray God will speak to your heart. You'd come. If you're here today and you're not saved, come. Let's pray together. Father, thank you in the name of Jesus for the privilege to share the Word of God. I pray, Lord, that you would magnify these truths in our hearts and in our lives. Thank you, God, for each one of the precious mothers that are here today. Some of these mothers, our Father, are very heavy-hearted. God, I pray for them. I pray, God, that you'd work in every home. Help us, God, to have a home that be pleasing in thy sight, where there's worship, where there's a welcome, or we could win others. Lord, I pray this morning you'd stir in our hearts and help us, we pray.